Your drive home starts now with Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Followed by Hamish and Andy. This is Carrie and Tommy.
Monday is here, so is Carrie Bickmore.
Oh, is it Monday?
It's Monday.
I feel like I've been working all weekend.
Look, here's the great thing, Bickers. I've come into this week with a full head of steam.
Have you?
Yes.
I'm tired.
Are you?
I've worked out I can't go out anymore. So old.
We, of course, had the Radio Awards on Saturday night. And being in that room and we had Hall of Fame inductees, amazing Amanda Keller. And you know what? It's filled me with a sense of let's do this job to the best of our abilities.
I have been.
I'm just about to. But I thought, what do we need? Relatable phoners, okay. Right? Things to get the people involved. So I haven't even consulted you about this first one, and I'm just going to kick it off. Meghan Markle. Gorgeous Meghan Markle. Meghan.
I think it's
Is
Meghan.
Is it Meghan?
Prince Harry's girlfriend?
Meghan.
I think it's Meghan.
I'll go with Meghan then.
Is it double G or one G?
It's M-E-G-H-A-N. So I was going with Meghan.
No, it's probably Meghan. I don't know.
Okay.
Miss Markle.
Meghan.
She has quit.
Yes.
Suits, right?
I saw this.
And so I thought, 13 10 60, get involved now. When have you quit your job to marry a prince? Relatable radio, guys, get involved. Buzz, are the phones going into meltdown?
No.
Oh, well, I'm at a loss.
Well, you know what we could do?
What?
How about a tease? They do good teasers in radio.
Oh.
I learnt something about you on Saturday night that has left me gobsmacked.
Has it?
What's that noise?
I've knocked a phone off the hook. I'm so sorry. I was trying to ring in for the when have you quit your job to marry a prince, and I happen to have knocked a phone off.
What is that noise?
Buzz, go to a song and get us out of this. Marathon results are up next. The new and improved Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
It was a big weekend.
Wasn't it?
But also for the people of this country who were running marathons.
Yes, the Melbourne Marathon was on, and of course, I tore my running muscle and couldn't take part.
And Chris had the flu, my partner, and so he had to pull out as well. And we also came to the conclusion I was going to run for him, but then I realised it was the night after the Radio Awards. And trust me, the state I was in yesterday, I was very glad not to be running. And you, I think, pulled up fine, but decided you were also going to be hungover, so didn't want to do it.
We came up with a solution, though. If you didn't hear it, this is what happened. Mark, talk to us. Have you done a half marathon before?
Yes, I have.
Megan, what's your credentials?
One before, but I am training to do a body sculpting competition.
You had me at I've never run one before. I would love if you want to run for me, Megan.
We're going to make this fair. It probably needs to be Mark against Megan. The winner gets $250.
And also the loser gets to donate, the second winner gets to donate $250 to a charity of their choice.
Yes. And I've been waiting for 24 hours now to hear whether Megan or Mark won the marathon, half marathon. Might as well have been a marathon, and they join us now.
Megan, firstly, how are you?
Good, how are you guys?
Oh, living the dream. Thanks for saving my skin yesterday. Mark, you're there as well. How are you, brother?
Good, thanks.
That's good. How'd you pull up?
Yeah, a little sore and tired.
Okay.
You sound a little flat.
I know.
Yeah, I'm very sore and tired too. I've got blisters all over my feet, but all good, Tommy. Don't worry, I did it for you.
Megan, I love your guts. You are the best. This was your first half marathon. On a scale of one to impossible, how hard was it?
So it wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. I just kept going. I said to my partner, I'm not going to stop. I ran the full 21.1K. I'm like, no, not even stopping. I obviously, when there was drinks and I just kept jogging and just grabbed a drink and threw it on the ground. But by the end of it, my legs, oh my God, it was probably around 6-7 or so, but I'm glad I did.
Hey, did you tear up at the end, Megan? Because the only time I've done a 14K, that's the furthest I've run, and I actually got really emotional at the end.
Yeah, once we went into the MCG and I could see the end, I just sprinted, and everyone's looking at me like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I've got to finish it. I fell to my knees and I'm like, oh my God, Tommy's not even here to like congratulate me.
I'm sorry. I would have been. I'm sorry. I wish I was there. How are you walking? Are you walking like you've just given birth? Are you sore?
Yeah, well, today, because I work with dogs, so walking around the dog yards and that's pretty hard, but it's okay.
All right. Well, now we need to find out how Mark's experience was. Hey, champ, how'd you go?
Yeah, good. The last 1,500 metres was a bit tough, but wasn't too bad.
Okay, you're sounding like it wasn't that hard. You've done this before. How did it fit in the half marathons that you've done?
Probably the hardest because I haven't really trained and probably a bit overweight at the moment. But it's I was happy to finish.
Yeah, well,
your version of a bit overweight is probably quite trim for most people.
Maybe not.
Well, I'm hoping, because obviously you're representing Walks, Carrie's partner, I'm hoping that you're not being humble and you really have stacked it on and you really struggled there, Mark.
Yep, a little, I think.
Okay, Buzz, if you wouldn't mind giving us a bit of tension music.
Do we have a drum roll, maybe?
We're going to start with Mark's time. Mark, what was your time?
2 hours 16.
That's quick. I feel like that's quick.
16, wow.
Anything under 10 hours, I reckon, is quick.
Now, Megan, bear in mind that you're already a winner in my mind. What was your time?
It was 2 hours 21.
Oh, wow! My God!
That's awesome.
Well done.
I think that's great.
So close.
Yeah. Hey,
did you see each other? Did you know what each other looked like or anything?
No, not at all.
Crazy.
What, Megan, you mean you didn't see a fat bloke just ahead of you by 5 minutes?
Oh, congratulations, Mark. Well done, mate.
Hey, Mark, $250 is yours. Megan, $250. Which charity do you want it to go to?
Oh, I actually haven't even thought about it. How about you choose, Tommy? Because I don't really know, actually.
Hey, I'm an ambassador for Suicide Prevention Australia. They do great work. I'd love the money to go there if you're happy with that.
Yeah, perfect. That sounds fantastic.
Also, I indulge in some things that I shouldn't, and one of them is that I had a bit of a win on the punt on the weekend. I'd love to chuck $250 your way, Megan. I think you're the best.
Oh my God, Tommy. Thank you so much.
I love your attitude. I think it's so great that you just went, I haven't done this before, and I'll give it a crack. You did better than I've done, so that's coming to you as well.
Mark, congratulations. Megan, you're an absolute champ. We know who to call on if we ever need anything in the future. You two
are
legends.
Thank you, guys. Yes, please call me.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Now, one man who's got to be one of the most tired in the world. Of course, still half the job that the women do. I can't believe, oh gosh, I'm in trouble. Anyway, Sam Wood of Badger of Fame joins us now. How are you, mate?
Hello, guys. How are you?
Are you awake? What have we caught you in? Mid little nap?
I'm slow to the show again. I've had a couple of coffees this morning, but it's been a crazy but amazing week, that's for sure.
I heard you say it had been the best week of your life. It did bring a little tear to my eye. That's a really sweet thing to say.
Oh, without question, it has been the best week of my life. I know I've got a lot of friends, being 37, that have had babies, and they know how much I love kids, and they've always sort of said to me, you know, you wait, once you sort of get it, you get it, and now I get it. It's just, she's absolutely adorable.
I mean, I don't mean to make what is clearly a life-changing experience a bit superficial, but this is also exciting for Australia because this is the first bachelor baby.
Yes, we're never going to shake that turn, are we?
How long before you're doing like a Jessica Simpson, Nick Lachey style show, just in on the family? Bring the cameras in. First batchy baby, first batchy family. Let's do it.
No, I don't know about that. I don't know.
You sound wrapped.
Yeah, I do, don't know. It's right up my alley. No, I don't think we'll ever be going there, but I don't know. I don't know, we announced it on Thursday and Snezha's sister sent her a little screen grab of, a baby Parmigiana has been cooked or something.
Oh, I had to feel for you yesterday. I saw some Pat pictures outside your house and it took me back to when I had my little girl Evie, and I thought, because that's what you want when you first decide, I think we can venture out. Like, everybody got everything ready to go. I'm going to try put the capsule in the car for the second time since we've come home from hospital. I'm going to try and not destroy my child. Oh, let's do it in front of some cameras.
Yeah, because you don't have enough on your plate. Oh, dear, we are chasing us around Melbourne and we don't have much protection at the front of our house.
No. I did think that.
We walk into the driveway and bang, there's a 30-inch camera in your face. So
I did think you need to build a bigger wall. You need to take some Tim's and Trump and just like...
We definitely do. So, yeah, always fun. He got me the morning earlier taking out my first crappy nappy to the bin.
Oh, and, you're just an everyday dad, Sam, you know?
That's right. Keeping it real, guys. Keeping it real.
And I'm assuming you've got Snez doing some push-ups and star jumps and straight back on the fitness program today.
No, she's well and truly told me to back right off, which I am. And she's just enjoying quality time with little Willow. But I think she wants to get back in shape eventually. I mean, the things you say when you're 39 weeks pregnant, I guess, she's sort of like, oh, my God, I can't wait to get some normality back. But at the moment, that is the least of her worries, and I'm definitely not going to be pushing it. That's entirely up to her.
Hey, I saw you wheeling the dog down by the beach. Well, sorry, wheeling the pram and walking the dog.
Didn't have the dog in
the pram. <No. laughs> But I did think of our producer, Sonda. We had this conversation the other day because she's about to have a baby and she's got a dog and she's not sure she's going to be able to push the pram and carry the dog. And she said, is it okay for her to take the pram out without the baby in it before she has the baby to practice walking with the pram and holding the dog? Did you get any practice in pre-baby?
No, this is my learner plates yesterday, actually, and it's not too bad. I think we're going to need a slightly heavier duty pram if we're going to be taking Little Willow off-road or doing any running. This is a fairly streamlined, not bad on the flat, but she really feels every little bump. But we're lucky. She loves the motion. She slept, literally, like a baby as we cruised along for a couple of hours yesterday without waking once. So that was a good little test, and we've come through with flying colours.
I did notice then, you know, you said just minutes ago that you're giving Snares a bit of time off the training, but just then you mentioned if we're taking her off-road or going for a run, you're already encouraging the run.
Oh, hi, that's me. That's me.
Okay.
I want to take her off-road. No, she can rest for as long as she wants to rest, but I can't wait for her to get the little fat wheels out there and take her for a spin.
So, yeah. Are you getting up and doing like nappies during the night and stuff, or you got to do your work stuff? So you let Snez do the night stuff.
No, I am. I mean, Snez is a bit a control freak's too strong, but she's very she wants to be part of everything. So even if I say to her, "You sleep and let me do this," she wants to spectate and tell me that I'm not doing it correctly. So she's kind of awake anyway, which sort of defeats the purpose of me doing it, but...
That's not unique to Schnez, you know that, yeah?
No, I understand.
That's all of us.
I'm sure we'll loosen over time, but at the moment it's very much, we're sort of going through it together. I was up sort of half the night, Schnez was up all of the night, so I'm sort of, I'm only doing half what she's doing at the moment. I'm exhausted, so I can't even imagine how she's feeling, but she's a very tough young lady, so... I think if anyone can handle it, she can.
Well, congratulations on the new addition. Mm. Gorgeous little family got going. You're not married, are you? I saw something the other day and I couldn't make out if it was true or not.
No. People think we've had a secret wedding. No, we've got enough on our plate without squeezing one of them in. But
hasn't been a batchy wedding yet, has there? Has there?
Oh, I've forgotten about God, look at the first you could be ticking off.
Oh.
I mean.
I know. What a resume. No, I don't think we're in any hurry for that. We were planning our wedding and then Snez fell pregnant and we just said one thing at a time. So
Yeah. Sure,
we'll get back to that once little Willow settings in the family.
Wait till she can walk down the aisle towards you. That'll bring an even bigger tear to your eye.
Well, we love you both, Sam. Thanks for taking the time today and all the best.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
It's time for Bickmore's Bits.
Here we go now. You know what you don't want to read about just as you're about to get on a plane?
What's that?
A plane almost crashing.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And this morning I had to get on a flight. And just before, while I was sitting in the airport, I looked up at the little screens where they had the TV rolling coverage and I hear about an AirAsia flight bound for Bali that had to turn back to Perth after it suddenly lost cabin pressure and dropped 20,000 feet. The incident occurred about 25 minutes into the flight with 145 people on board.
I don't mean to, and this will be a technical question.
You're not going to ask me how.
No, I would have thought 20,000 feet was all the feet.
Well,
I would have thought you. I would have thought that was the ground.
32,000 feet to 10,000 feet.
See, just when I thought you wouldn't have the answer.
I know, because
there
of a technical problem.
You've got the answer.
But you know what made me kind of upset about this, right? I was watching people talk about it and then I started Googling it on my phone and there was a passenger who was complaining because she said, we were urged to adopt the brace position and use the oxygen mask because the staff, the crew on board, were in an absolute state of panic. So we all got in a state of panic, right?
The staff were panicking?
But I thought, are they not allowed to panic? I know they're taught to be cool, calm and collected, but they're only human. If your plane's dropped from 30 to 10, you don't want your guy still sitting in the position chatting about his weekend.
Yeah, and you don't want to die working as well. I'd be hitting the bottle so hard.
And I also feel like your role as the employee versus the person who's paid to come, that all goes out the window
completely.
When you're in a death situation.
Completely.
You all come together. You should be terrified together.
Well, there is a little hint of that when they do the safety briefing, because they say it calmly, which throws you off. But what they say is, you know when they say, oh, if you're sitting in an exit row,
yeah.
Our instructions will be, and then they always say, it's like, evacuate, 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 or run, run, run.
Do they say like, that?
Yeah.
I don't think I've heard that.
Maybe I've made that up.
I never sit in an
don't
exit row, though.
Don't fact check that. Don't you?
Nah.
It's because you're too little.
I don't want to have to be called upon. I'd be hopeless in a moment like that.
See, you know, I'm mad for that. I'm hanging out for the moment.
You are. You do want to save a life.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, you weren't on that flight. And anyway, they made it back safely. Everybody's fine. And I made it here safely, so I'm fine too.
I also think in instances like this, because everybody is fine, it's okay to talk about. I reckon there'd be some pretty cheap fares going on AirAsia now. Probably a great time to snag yourself a bargain.
All right. We chatted to Pink a couple of months ago now. We did the world famous rooftop with Pink.
Yes.
And remember she was talking about at the time about her collaboration with Eminem.
Of course.
But we weren't. This song, yes. Revenge.
What
revenge.
A churn.
We can do it together.
Have you heard this one before?
I heard it last week.
Oh, no.
We actually got to hear it a few months ago when they previewed the album for us before anyone else got the chance to. But we were told we weren't allowed to talk about this collaboration with Eminem. It was so top secret.
Yes.
This was a little bit of the collaboration she dropped in our interview with her that we couldn't air because she wasn't meant to talk about Eminem. This is what she had to say when we were talking about the language on her album, how filthy it is.
I didn't realize how many bad words were on the record until I went with my daughter to Spotify to play them the record, and then I was like, ha, la 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 la. Oh, here comes another one. And then when Eminem's like, you're a whore, you're a whore, this is war, and Willa's like, what's? I go, he's calling me a horse.
The horse.
And he likes horses.
But now we found out how the whole collaboration came about. Apparently, Pink was drunk. She was hanging out with her manager and with some friends, and she was like, I'm going to email him and tell him I want to work with him. So she emailed saying, you know I love you. I like that you work with a lot of the same people, like Rihanna. She's hotter than me, but I'm funnier, so I'm going for a rap Grammy, and I'd like to take you along with me. That was what she said to him.
What did he write
Great
back?
Balls. What do you think Eminem wrote back?
Love you too. I've been thinking about working together. Yada, yada, yada.
He wrote back, okay.
One word.
Okay. And I mean, to be fair, it was okay, not just okay. Okay.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, maybe when you're Eminem, you can just reply with okay. That'd be quite a liberating feeling. Imagine never having to respond with anything to an email other than okay.
Just okay. You end up agreeing to all these things you don't want to.
The funniest thing was within like 2 days, he dropped the album in her inbox, like sent it to her and said, drop the song, have a listen. And she emailed him again saying, oh my gosh, this is the best thing I've ever heard. I want to tackle you and rub your face in the dirt.
What did he write back? Okay.
Okay.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Okay, so I feel like there's something we need to talk about because I've always found you incredibly capable, but we don't spend a lot of time together outside the office. So the things you're capable are out of very work-related.
This is where you hurt my feelings constantly.
Why?
Because this always happens. This is yet another one of those chats where somebody goes, are you guys friends? And I go, yes. And you go, no.
No, we
haven't known each other long. See, now, even
we weren't. You can come round to my house with my two kids anytime you like, but I don't think that's how you want to spend your weekend. Anyway,
sure.
Because we did get to spend some time together outside of the office on the weekend, I discovered something about you that I think is a little disappointing.
That I think I've got a twisted testicle?
No, I also discovered that.
Okay.
I couldn't help you with that, but this is what I could help you with.
What?
I could help you tie your tie on Saturday night as we went out to the Radio Awards because you're a 32-year-old man who doesn't know how to tie a tie.
No, I know.
How?
Well, I've never had to.
What do you mean? You've been to how many weddings in your life?
Not many.
You've been to what? At least 10?
Maybe, but I always get to someone else to do it because
I've been to the Logies. You've been to the who's tying your ties?
Natty from Channel 10.
But she doesn't come with you everywhere you go.
But any time I have to wear a tie, like if I go to the races or something, there's always people around, and I just ask one of them to tie. Or if I do have to do it myself, I have a YouTube tutorial open.
You do not.
Yeah,
have
I do.
A YouTube tutorial.
And I copy it step by step. Why do you think that's so outrageous?
Because
but then I was in a rush and I was running late, so I had to get out and meet you in the car, and I hadn't had time to do it, and I was
like
at a loss.
You were an absolute mess. You were all frazzled. I can't tie my tie. And then when I went to tie it for you, you complained that I'd tied it wrong, so then I had to retie it.
Well, you had the little bit at the back hanging down. Like, even you agreed I looked ridiculous. You had the little bit at the back hanging down longer than the front bit, which only went up to like halfway down my belly.
I did that on purpose. I just wanted to look like an idiot. I mean, to be fair, I know how to tie. tie. Although maybe more women know how to tie a tie because we're often tying it for a guy, because it is easier to do it looking at it than it is to do yourself. But I did go to a school where we had to wear ties.
So right.
Every morning throughout my whole high school, I had to tie. In winter, I had to tie my own tie.
Right. So I didn't have to wear a tie at school.
I know, but I still feel like as a man, like why would I? I've never had to go somewhere in a suit.
I've never had an office job, but suits. How many times
do you wear
them?
What about when you're single and you don't have someone with you to tie it when you're going to the wedding? Who ties it?
Someone at the wedding.
You get to the wedding with your tie untied.
So I hosted one of my really good mates' weddings recently. I was the MC, and I rocked up with the bridal party before it started and got one of the groomsmen to tie my tie. I rock up.
I think you need to learn.
Why?
Because it's a life skill.
It just encourages me to have friends.
But then I also realised there's another thing I've worked out you can't do.
Untwist my testicle?
You can't swim.
I can
swim. How did you get to 32 without being able to swim?
I can swim.
Mate, you can't.
Mate, I'm a surfer.
No, you said to me,
I'm a surfer.
I can't really swim.
Ask me, do I own a surfboard?
That doesn't mean you're a surfer.
Ask me to throw out a word.
Lots of people these. Apparently it's in to have a surfboard in your lounge room just up against the wall. Like, that doesn't make you a surfer.
Absolute crap. You try and keep me out of those barrels.
This segment was going to be things you should be able to do at 32, but I think we should just talk about things Tommy can't do as a grown human.
I know, that's... we were going to do a consultation line about my twisted testicle, but it's gone another way.
My dad is a grown man and he can't cook. When I came to live with him in Melbourne from Perth, he had the most beautiful kitchen, and then I went to cook and he goes, oh, no, it's not connected. I said, what do you mean? He goes, the stove's not connected. I said, why have you got it in there then? He said, because it looks nice. I'm like, how have you made it through life not being able to cook anything?
Yeah. I lived with my brother for 4 years, and at the end of it, we got a letter saying all the things that we needed to clean. And I said, oh, can you clean the oven? And he said, do we have an oven?
Anyway, 13, 10, 60. What can't you do at 32 or above? You can be older than 32, but at least 32.
All right, so not things you can do. So I wouldn't ring in and say surfing and swimming because they're things that I can do. But things you can't do, like tie a tie.
13, 10, 60 is our number. What can't you do at 32? We'll take your calls next.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
13, 10, 60 is our number. Give us a call. What can't you do at 32?
So we learnt that Tommy can't tie his tie.
Yeah,
he's a grown human.
Yeah, and we were going to do what can you do, but my list of things that I can do is just so extensive.
We learnt that when that song was playing that Buzz can't drive a manual car.
Oh, yeah.
Nah.
How did you get through life, mate?
I've always had an auto. My parents had an auto. I've never had anyone to teach me how to drive manual.
Sexy.
Yeah. Sexy, isn't it? There's nothing like a guy sitting in a car and going, I don't know how to work the gears, that you go, geez, he's hot.
We've got Georgia on the line. Georgia, what can't you do at 32?
So it's actually my dad he's not 34, but he's 54, and he can't change a tyre.
He can't change. I mean, to be fair, I reckon I'd be.
I didn't think I could, and then once I had to, and under duress, you can.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
It comes out in you?
Yeah.
But so do you have a jack in the back of your car? How do you do that?
I haven't in this car. I don't know. No, it was my really old car that had everything in the boot that you could possibly need, and I was out driving in the country, and I had no choice, and I had to, and I found the manual, and I did it. I was incredibly proud of myself.
I forget how clumsy I can be, so I reckon that would be how I would go out. I reckon I'd be confident. I'll go, I can change this. And I'd put the jack up wrong. I'd get under that car. It'd fall on me. And then
you'd
go.
You don't go under.
Don't you?
You're not fixing the engine. You're just changing a tyre.
Well, I thought I'd tinker under the hood while I was there.
I guess.
But, Georgia, does this mean you can change a tyre?
So I can change a tyre, but I had to learn because my dad, who's 54, can't change a tyre. And I was stranded one day, called dad up, I'm like, can you please come help me? Car's broken down. He came out and he was like, what's wrong? And he looked at my tyre and he's like, well, I don't know how to do that. So
thanks, Dad.
He then called the RACV, so we were there for another 2 hours waiting for someone to come and change the tyre. And I was like, Dad, come on.
See, that's why I don't need to learn how to change tyre. I just need to
have RACV.
No, I just have a daughter. That's all I need to do. Hey, Taylor, what can't you do at 32?
I can't ride a bike.
Can't you? I mean, just never learnt as a kid, or did you have a stack and get scared?
I had a stack, got scared and vowed that I'd never get on another bike.
When did you have this stack? When you were five or recently?
Oh, recently. Recently.
How bad was it?
Oh, like I pretty grazed my hands, grazed my face, and I was done by that point.
You know what? If I grazed my face trying to tie up a tie... It's some horrible thing, actually.
You will never graze your face.
I'd never tie a tie again.
You will never graze your face.
Oh, I don't know. It's tricky work. Let's finish. Vanessa finishes off. What can you do at 32?
Guys, I can't tie my shoelaces.
You are an absolute dropkick.
Okay,
I don't know how you managed
difference?
To. I don't know how you managed to pick up a phone and dial this show
what's
if you can't tie a shoe.
Not tying a shoelace and tying a tie.
Everybody wears shoes. Some people don't wear ties. I never wore a tie as a kid. Everybody wears shoes as a kid.
There's Velcro shoes and slip-ons. You can get through life without needing to tie a shoelace.
Don't defend.
My 10-year-old has.
Vanessa, what happened? Have you just got someone? Have you got people for that, or what's going on?
Well, God, I just get my shoes and I do little hoops, and then I just don't know how to like put it all together. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't just like I just don't get it.
It's just over, under, and pull.
What I love as well is as you're explaining your incompetence, you manage to press your face against the phone and hit one of the buttons. You are a hot mess, Vanessa, and I love it.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Guys, that's us done.
Now, we get all the big stars, not on this show, but on the TV show we do together.
Mate, you know one of the problems with live radio is you start saying words and then they're gone out of your mouth and you can't take them back.
Just as well, though, we get the big stars on the project where we work together.
And this show.
What big... Oh, we had Sam today. Sam Wood.
Oh, mate, dig up. You are. We were so close to having an event-free show where we didn't have to have a meeting afterwards and we are going to be hauled into a boardroom tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
No,
go
I'm
on.
Talking about Chris Hemsworth and Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, when are we getting them on this show?
No, tonight on the project. Mate. They're talking about the new Thor and I'm so excited.
I mean, the hottest two men on the planet.
They are. And Mark Ruffalo.
Okay, keep it in your jocks until tonight.
Do I have to?
No. You can take it out of your jocks whenever you want, mate.
I loved him in Spotlight. Which is not obviously...
Oh, stop bringing down the tone
it's
again.
It's not obviously
Buzz,
the happiest
can you finish
show to
the
talk
show?
To him about. But I want to talk to him about that tonight because that was one of the most extraordinary films I've ever seen.
Oh,
do you think he's going to want to talk about that or is he only going to want to talk about
Let's
Thor?
Talk about a fun movie full of action and comedy.
Have you seen Spotlight?
No, stop bringing it
We've
up.
Got to go. Hamish and Andy, it's they're back really from their good. Break and they are on their next. We'll catch you tomorrow. See ya.
The Carrie and Tommy catch-up is ready to podcast now on Radio App or iTunes.
Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram @CarrieTommyShow.